up on the stump is Mr. Chad, KO4NUE, over there in Campobello. Chad, you didn't reply to my text. Did you get my text I sent you yesterday?
KI4DOS, KO4NUE. I did, Gary. I'll call you offline and explain kind of what happened. But you will never guess what I am holding in my hand right now.
Bean sandwich with a side order of fried chicken lips.
No, sir. I am holding not one but two FCC Form 790s. Do you know what FCC Form 790s are?
Not familiar with that particular form.
Okay, so let me read it to you. This is FCC Form 790 from the United States of America Federal Communications Commission, Post Office Box 251, Chillicothe, Ohio. Immediate action should be taken to correct your station's unsatisfactory conditions listed below to avoid an issuance of an official notice of violation. No reply is necessary. However, this matter is being made a part of the official records of the FCC Communication Commission. March 20th, 1974. The particulars, and it says particulars, so the reason for the violation notice, it says radiating spurious emission, comma, QSA2, comma, fundamental unheard. I'm going to leave call signs out here. In quotations, hand-typed with a typewriter, and on the back of it is the carbon paper print on the back of it. Says, in quotes, CQ, 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 DE, call sign, K, close quotation marks. That's the first citation. Listen to the same call, says the same thing. Immediate action should be taken to correct your station's unsatisfactory conditions. Particulars, radiating second harmonic emission, comma, QSA4, fundamental unheard. And they want a response from this station. Why, you know, what's so he's written his, you know, response to the first citation, which was using second dip on TX1. I should have used a first dip on TX1. And then the response to the second, we never checked tuning on Swan 500CX in 27 days. Also used 67-foot wire antenna, which caused TV interference. Neighbors are angry.
Now, that was dated... When was that dated? Recently, like this year, or sometime in the past?
So the one where the neighbors were angry from TV interference is dated November 8th, 1972. So I wasn't even born. I wasn't born until January of 72. The second one was dated March 20th, 1974.
All I can say is they took their sweet time in getting it to you. That's the federal government for you, right?
It's not me. I'm just going to leave the call signs and names out and all that. But, you know, the point is they're, you know, official citations from the FCC. The issuing officer was William C. Houston. The engineer in charge was George F. Wagner. And dated March 20th, 1974. first one dated 72 was on frequency 7452 kilohertz, and the second one was on 7419.61 kilohertz.
I tell you, years ago, something was mentioned about a Swan. Swan made a good radio now, don't get me wrong, but till they got good and warmed up, you chased them up, chased the signals up and down the band. It would move quite a bit. And some of the old the older tube types, like the Swan and some of the Collins and, like the Helicrafters and stuff like that, you had to chase them a little bit until you got them good and warmed up. But once you got them good and warmed up, they performed pretty well. But I can see where they could have that problem. And, there's still things in there about the TVI interference, TV interference. If you're messing up your neighbor's TV, you're responsible for going over there and taking care of his TV. You go over and put a TVI filter on it, and everything should be fine. But if it's not, then you have to go back to your station and do something to your station. But normally, with the equipment we've got today, there's not that much problem.
I thought it just. I mean, what a wonderful piece of history here. I couldn't believe what I was, holding in my hands when I was looking at it. But, his response was, quite abrupt. And he, on the back of the envelope from the FCC, he listed both citations in handwriting and said, he called this guy's name on the telephone, listed his telephone number, and wrote down, does a frequency meter, wave meter, or grid dip meter tell you if you have a HAR, I don't know what HAR means, or a RF relative power meter, or SWR meter can't. So anyway, whatever the citations listed, you can see where he called the guy or called somebody to find out, what the deal was, and how to fix it. So, I would have freaked out, man. If I got a letter from the FCC, I would just absolutely freak out. I wouldn't know what to do. But, he handled it accordingly, I guess. But I just thought that was neat that, they actually listened, at one point. But the biggie for me that stands out on the letterhead is Communications Commission, the United States of America. Got this big eagle on it. It's quite the citation. I'd have been happy just to get it, just to see the eagle, I guess.
Well, Chad, I don't believe I'd ever want to get one of those in the mail, or delivered to me in person either, for that matter. As long as I can keep my station legal and within operating parameters, we're all good. As we used to say in the military, we're fat, dumb, and happy.
So, one other thing I'll share with you is I've got a handwritten letter here. It is, I think it's looks like 60-something, 1960s. I can't tell. It's old. And it's a letter written to somebody that says, "I am speaking for an interested group of hams concerning the blah, 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 blah repeater. Since you two insist on monopolizing this repeater, it has been shut down because of your ignorance." If you two insist on long, drawn-out conversations, use the telephone, not the repeater.
Oh, man, I thought that's what the repeater was there for long, drawn-out conversations.
1968, but hey, you know, I thought it was kind of funny. I heard you talking with Jay about dip meters, and I thought, I know absolutely no idea what a dip meter is, but when I ran across that, I just thought, well, whatever a dip meter is, it must be pretty important, because it got the FCC all messed up and hot about it. So, if you know how to run, good, kudos to you. And I hope next time you tune your antenna with it, you don't get the FCC mad, because evidently, that'll do it. But with that, Gary, I'll let you go. I just want to drop by and say hello to you, and I'll give you, excuse me, I'll give you a holler tomorrow. And explain, you know, what happened last night. But with that, 73s, and thank you for calling the net. Please tell Miss Joey we said hello.
Well, I got a good laugh out of that, and so, oh, man, you got those for before you were born. That's pretty good. Well, you know, you said 74. That's 40 meters. But that's out of the band, or at least out of the band now. I don't know what it was back then, but it might have been in within the limits, but it was out of bound even at that, according to our band plan that we have today. I'll put it that way. In the meantime, you take care. Tell Miss Anna we said hello. And one question before you go, how was your spaghetti?
Dad didn't get it, so that's good. And we enjoyed it. Put some mushrooms in it, caramelized some onions, and it was just good. It was really good. We had a big plate of spaghetti with some beef in it, and you know, nice salad. So tell Joey it was absolutely delicious, and I appreciate the jar sauce. So I'll. Tell her be careful, though, because I'm looking for another jar. So just give her warning.
Okay, buddy, I'll do it. You and Anna have a great evening, what's left of it, and we'll talk at you a little bit later. Enjoyed it there, Chad, as always. And by the way, you get to take credit for the welding and all the stuff that was done to the mower deck, it's working and it didn't fall apart. So we're in good shape there. Appreciate all you did for that, and we'll talk at you later, Chad. You take care. Have a good evening. We have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KI4DOS.
Hey, Gary, KI4DOS, WP3LFG. Can I just add something to that last guy's comment?
Jay, go right ahead.
You know what he means about the FCC. The swans, they were nice if you could neutralize them, right? They wouldn't generate spurious radiation. That was one problem they had. I think they were using sweep tubes. But the best part that I've ever had, I had an official observer. Remember those pesky little people? The OOs, you get postcards in the mail. You're admitting this. You're admitting that. I'm saying, uh-huh. Okay, I'm running 15 watts with a 6L6 oscillator and a 2-link link coupled to a dipole antenna. How in the hell? And then he finally let me alone.
Well, Jay, they did used to have people riding around doing that sort of stuff. I don't think they've got that many folks doing it anymore. They've still got some out there. And they do ride around, and they do listen, and they will come knock on your door. But I've not had that happen to me, thank goodness, knock on wood, wherever some wood's at. And but I'm sure that once you explain the situation, they finally got the message. And, yeah, I think the swan did run sweep tubes.
They were inexpensive. You could beat the you-know-what out of them. You keep them neutralized, but they were a little bit noisy. I remember those. Oh, my God. But anyway, I'm sure you, me, and that other gentleman could go way back into time about earlier transmitters and what ran what. And, you know, it's really funny. I have a ham that lives 200 yards away from me. I can see his tower. He's got a great big TH6, everything. His name's Harold. I'll be darned if I can remember his call letters. I could yell out the window. I don't even have to go on 5-2 simplex. We never, ever, ever interfere with each other. Never, never, never. And I know he's on at the same time. But then I got this one ham. He lives 3/4 of a mile away from me. He gets on 15 meters. Now, this is a warm welcome to a new ham in the Norman area. Hi, who are you? Will you please get the heck off the air? You're sending out all kind of signals. Say what? Now you know why I don't deal with the local group down here too much. I don't know what he was doing. He says, I'm sending images. I says, no, I'm not. I'm on FT8. And if anybody is, you are. So I really got a good one night. He was trying to work Nebraska on 17 meters, and he was on da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Nobody answered him. So I got on. I got one. Then I call him up and says, hey, call this call sign. Oh, did he get mad? But that's just it. Sometimes you just get front-end overload, and a lot of hams don't understand that. You just got to point the other way. I don't have that problem. I'm more worried about my TV set interfering with me than me interfering with the TV set. Go ahead.
Well, you know, Jay, the TV sets that we have now are far cry from the old ones that I grew up with. We had a black and white TV for a good number of years after they came out with color TVs. Yeah, we still kept, you know, Mom and Dad kept the old black and white, and we kept it going. And then, of course, people started throwing the TVs away, and I did not do it because I didn't get into ham radio for a long time. Well, I got my license in 2004, but I got out of the Navy in 1974. My father-in-law was a ham at that time, and he tried to get me to take my test, and I wouldn't do it. I worked on radios in the Navy, and I didn't want to fool with them anymore, so I did something else. But, you know, if people throw their TVs away, we'd stop on the side of the road and pick up the old TVs and take them home and tear them apart and save a couple of tubes in the tube sockets and maybe even parts off the chassis, you know, whatnot. And Daddy had built stuff, you know, and he had other friends that built stuff. And there were very few store-bought radios. They were mostly homebrew, and so they did put out a lot of spare submissions and this sort of thing. And of course, with the radios we have now, have come a long way from what we used to put together.
Yeah, they have. They really have. But those were the good old days. That's how you learned. I mean, this is a capacitor. Don't charge it up and hit both ends with your hands. You will die. Okay, lesson learned. But going through and trying to get all the values of the resistors and the capacitors and all the charts, I used to know all of them, down to those little mica 6-dot capacitors. And I got my first radio, my very, 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 very first radio was back in 1961. My dad and I went down to Radio Shack. He got me a little crystal radio, the ones that look like a little rocket ship. You might remember them. If I go up on eBay, I can still pull a replica up. And that's where I started to cut my teeth. And then we went to the regular toilet tissue roll with a whole bunch of turns of wire and a little slide on it to go to different frequencies. And then we went to Super Regenerative and said, gee, that really stinks. And then we just, you know, but that's how you learn. You just did it. And I mean, I could whip up a transmitter in no time. I could not whip up a receiver. You said you were in the Navy. Okay. Any place I can still land my hands on an ARC 5? If you were in the Navy, you'll know what those are. They used them on the Navy planes, and the Western Electric, I think, made those. I used to break those down and convert them to handbands, these 1625s inside of them. And I forget what the driver was, but they were nice little solid radios. But like I say, that's how we learned it. We mixed and matched, and we put everything together. We got thrown across the room a few times from high voltage. But, hey, that's ham radio.
I tell you, Jay, a real close friend of mine, he's passed away now. He said, ham license is not just a license to get on there and operate a transceiver. He said it's a license to learn. This hobby has got so many different ways you can go. And you've named quite a few of them, slow scan TV and FT8 and, the list just goes on and on. You do just about anything you want to. A good friend of mine, another ham, I've got a rotator that does elevation and azimuth, and he brought it over to the house, and I tore it apart, and it's all working, and re-greased the bearings and put it all back together. He just wanted me to check it out because it hadn't been running a long time. And so I tore it apart and put it back together. And like I said, I greased it up and stuff like that. So he'll be happy to get that back. But he said he's going to try to do either some satellite work or moon bounce or meteor scatter. And I told him, I said, well, now that's kind of hard to do sometimes, But most of the time it's hard to do. I said, I've only known two other hams that did moon bounce or satellite work. And two of those are dead, unfortunately.
Yeah, I was going to try that. But where I lived, it was like impossible. KI4DOS, WBC, LFG, Norman. What I did, I went out and got the ASU 841 right before it went out of production. I think I got one of the last ones. And you could do split frequency with it. And I was trying so hard for good moon bounce. Now, I don't got enough power. Listening to the Leos, big deal. I wanted to talk to the, what was it at that time? The European Space Lab? I forgot which was up there back in the 80s or 90s. I forget which. And I got it all tuned up. I heard it coming in. I started talking. I heard my voice come back. I don't want to tell you what I said next, but everybody got a real big chuckle out of it. I didn't believe it actually worked. I mean, it only lasted for like 15 seconds, and then they were gone, but I actually heard it come back to me, which I thought was fascinating, because one of the reasons I wanted to talk to it is when long time ago, when the European Space Lab was being built, I worked for Heinemann Electric in Trenton, New Jersey, and we actually did vibration testing on the circuit breakers for that space lab, which was kind of cool. Then I finally actually think I think that was the same lab, but I actually got to talk to somebody. But nowadays, you just go out with your HT, look at the things, it's like, yeah, and it's all over. But I haven't been lately, I haven't been able to hear it coming over. I don't know if my software is inadequate or if the what they call the KELMs are correct for its location or even if I'm on the right frequency. I have to get more involved in the AMSAT, but I didn't because I just don't have the area to do it, but now it's just using an HT. So anyway, back to you, KI4DOS, WB3LFG.
KI4DOS in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with WB3LFG, Mr. J out there in Norman, Oklahoma. Jay, there is a ham fest is pretty large for this area up in Shelby, North Carolina this weekend. I might run across one of those radios up there. I don't know that I will. But you know how ham fests are. If you've ever been to one, you don't know what you're liable to find or what you're liable to come across. I've been up there on a couple of different items, and looking around, and I'd ask the guy, "What is this?" You know, something I'd never seen before. And he started telling me what it was all about. And if I get up there, I'm planning on trying to get up there this weekend, at least one day. They don't really open until Saturday. It's Saturday and Sunday. But they open the it's at the fairgrounds, and they open the gates up on Friday. And a lot of people go up on Friday, the bulk of them go up on Saturday or Sunday. And I'll look around if I get up there, and if I find one of those, I'll let you know tomorrow night on the repeater if you're on EchoLink, over.
Oh, now the only thing is you said you were going to go up, look, find, but the item itself, I didn't hear what you said you were going to grab. But your flea market sounds good. It's only 1,400 miles away from where I'm at. Ain't gonna work. But one of the last flea markets I was to was one of the biggest ones in Pennsylvania. It was at a drive-in that doesn't exist any longer. And I think it was Warrington, Pennsylvania. I picked up an old New Jersey police radio on 6 meters and one for $440. And got them both to work, got them both crystal for the ham bands, put them in the trunk of a Pinto, and put a telephone receiver on a head up on my dashboard. And it was the funniest damn thing you ever saw. But it actually worked. One of the engineers from one of the TV stations down there, Ed Kushner, I forgot what channel, it was either 6 or 10, had the repeaters up on the TV towers. How he did that, nobody cared. But it worked. But I'm just curious about that one item you said that you're going to be looking for there, Gary. KI4DOSWB3LFG.
Jay, I was talking about that Navy radio that you're interested in. They have all kind of military stuff up there, you know. Some old, some new, and most of it obsolete, of course. But thought I would look and see if I could find one of those, and if I did, I'd let you know. Over.
Great. That'd be great. I don't have any problems with transmitters. The first thing you do when you get one of those things is you just field strip all the relays out of them because you ain't going to use them. And you just get one that actually goes into the ham bands. And the dynamotor, oh, God, don't even start. We just build power supplies, DC power supplies, high-voltage ones for them, for the 1625s. And believe it or not, on an old Mark V, I modulated one once. It sounded kind of weird on AM, but if you scream at the driver voice-wise, you can actually hear your voice on a receiver faintly. So we called it scream modulation. But, they were fun. My dad took a shot at an Arc 5 receiver, and he couldn't get it to work. I couldn't get it to work, and I don't know if it was workable when we first got it, but it looked pretty. But this is my dad, like I say, he got licensed back, I think, 64, 63, and his original equipment he built was a Konar, a little box, crystal-controlled transmitter and receiver. He built them both, and they worked. I was surprised, but they worked. And that's how he first got into ham radio. And then after that, VFO. Oh, my God, we have to get this radio. It's got a VFO in it. Oh, man. And then the world went nuts. 2 meters was all crystal. Then the IC-230 came out, crystal plexed. And oh, my God. It was very difficult coming up through the ranks a little bit until finally the industry calmed down a little bit. And said, okay, this is how it's going to be. And I'm quite happy right now, like the AC that I have, the 991A, it's got everything that I'll ever want. I just have to figure out what C4FM is. I don't really care. Then there were some DRM or whatever that three digital thing is. There were some guys the other night on the repeater I couldn't get on last night. But I have to learn some more about that, if that's something I can do in my area or if that's something that, you know, I just don't know how it works, the function of it yet. But everything else is coming along. So basically what I'm looking for is like a little house on the top of Mount Washington. Just a little bit of an antenna. That's all I need. I just have to find a better QTH, or I'm never, ever, ever going to get a DXCC out of this place. If I do, I'll be very surprised. But anyway, we have tied the repeater up for too long. It better rest, or somebody's going to complain about us. Anyway, have fun at your ham fest. We generally have one around here, but being the black sheep down here for some reason, nobody tells me about them. I don't know about them, and I don't get to go to them. And then when I find out where they are, it's more like, nah. I've got to get to one. Actually, Gary, what I'm really looking for is the, and the reason I'm on your repeater is I have a friend up there in Greenville, and he's egging me to move up there to re-retire next year. So I'm trying to find out more about the area. So if you know anybody that knows anything, give me a jingle. I'm going to sign with you because people are probably telling me to shut up behind my back here. KI4DOSWB3LFG, Norman.
Check KI4LZ guy. I got something to tell you. Hang on there a minute there, Jay. Mr. Andy, KI4LZI has something you want to say. Go ahead, Andy.
Station in Oklahoma, are you aware of RadioBoulevard.com?
What? I didn't quite get that. What boulevard.com?
Got Nevada that has all kinds of gear, amateur broadcast, you name it, from the beginning up to about 1970. All vacuum tube, stuff from the military, amateur broadcast. It's Radio BLVD. RadioBLVD.com.
Let me try that one more time. It says Radio Radio BL Victor Golf.com. Is that a Roger?
BLVD, Bravo, Bravo Lima Delta, B Radio Boulevard, Radio BL, Bravo Lima Victor Delta, Radio Boulevard, BLVD.com. I think if you go to that site there, you're going to be amazed at the stuff you find from way back in the tube days, all the way back to the spark gap.
Huh. Okay, so RadioBoulevard.com. I'll have to check that out. I've never heard of that site, and every once in a while, I'll just punch up the model number of a radio. And around here, I wasn't seeing too much. I know we have a lot of truck stops, and inside there is a lot of CB stuff. But I haven't heard of this one before. I'll have to take a look at this one. Yeah, those tube radios come in very handy in the wintertime. that'd be interesting. So they have all old radios, maybe some oscilloscopes and all kinds of good stuff there. I have to check that out. Now, is that in Norman or is that going to be somewhere in Oklahoma, anywhere? Go ahead.
Hey, I'm for LZI. No, it's not in Oklahoma. It's in Nevada. In Nevada.
Oh, well, that's just a few states to my left. But anyway, no, I'll give it a check. Check it out. I haven't. I've only been to Nevada one time, Las Vegas, and that was back in the 96s. We went out to a IEEE show was electronics thing. I was heavy into computers back in the day. And everything out in all the shows, everything in Las Vegas was computers and meat and food. It was like in gambling. That was it for 7 days. And it's like after the first 4 days, you were done. You couldn't take any more. Everybody who was anybody was at those shows. But no, this is good. Surplus. Yeah. Yeah, it brings back a lot of old memories, a lot of good memories. But the only bad memory I have is of a believe it or not, was a Kenwood TS-520 that damn near killed me, literally. We had the tubes that were going bad, the 1625s, or 6146s, Jay. Come on, get it together here. 6146s were going bad. And they were RCA. So back in the day, I called RCA. They sent me some 6146Ws. And they were the real heavy duty ones. And they were great until I went to neutralize it. Now, theoretically, you should be able to neutralize it with the B plus off, but it never works. And the next thing I knew, the 520 was on one side of the room and I was on the other.
I just wanted to point out to you that RadioBoulevard.com website, you're going to find all kinds of radio gear from the beginning up to the end of the tube area there. It don't matter if it's military, amateur, broadcast. They've even got on there the receiver that was used on the ship there when they was picking up Earhart out in the Pacific on that website there. I believe it was a rack. Well, I don't remember what kind of rack it was, but it was a rack receiver of some kind. You'll find it very, very interesting. And you're talking about a 520. I know another ham, WR4XM, who's got it for a spare radio. He's got a TS-520 for a spare radio. I just wanted to point that website out to you. I think you'll find it very interesting. You and Gary, go ahead. KI4LZI.
Okay. Well, hey, thank you. Thank you very much. Give me something to reminisce over and maybe pick up some stuff. That would be great. I could just see me now in my room here with a whole rack full of stuff, turning it on, and the lights just go, meow. But yeah. Oh, who was the guy tonight? He said he got something for his 10-tech. Gary? A quarter-inch jack or something. My dad used to run a 10-tech Triton 540 eons ago. He traded off, and I thought he was nuts. He traded off a Kenwood 530. And for this little radio, which didn't look like it was built very strong, but boy, did it run. And he ran that thing for, oh God, a good 20 years past it. And it finally wore out after he passed away. And I don't even think Tentec's in business anymore. But that was a heck of a radio. And then every once in a while, Jay, it doesn't work. Yeah, I'll be there. So I got my hands into it a lot. It was an easy radio to work on. Anyway, I'm getting tired, and you can tell that because I start to babble a lot, and I'm starting to babble. I'm also hungry, so I have to eat dinner. And it's 9:47 here in the central part of the world, which means it's 10:47, which means up Japan's still coming in, and not Netherlands, LW1, Bulgaria, I think, and New Zealand will be coming in shortly, along with the Aussies. So, Gary, I will talk to you tomorrow, and the other gentlemen, thank you, and once again, please pass along my sorrows to Matt. I know what he's going through. And everybody take care up there in South Carolina. One of these days, I got to come up and have an eyeball and see what the area is like. Because, like I said, my friend keeps nudging me, come on up, come on up. It's like, yeah. Okay, KI4DOS and the group WB3LFG, Norman, Oklahoma.
This is KI4DOS in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with WB3LFG, Mr. Jay, out there in Norman, Oklahoma. Well, Jay, the fellow, they got the part for his Tentec. He was getting a microphone, a quarter-inch microphone plug. It was KD4SRR, Mr. Robert. I don't know if he ordered the whole microphone or whatnot, but he could have taken one of his old D104s and put a quarter-inch plug on it and looked up the pinout on his radio and plugged that thing in and went right on to talking. But, you know, there's all kinds of different things. But that's what he got. He got a quarter-inch mic jack for his Tentec. I've got three Tentecs here at the house. Two of them do not belong to me. They're from a Silent Key. One is a Omni 6 Plus, and the other one is a, what is that other one? I want to say it's a 538 or something of that nature. I can't remember. But anyway, those are from a Silent Key that we're trying to help sell those things. And, you know, if I had planned ahead, if things had worked out, I had planned on going on up to the Ham Fest earlier and taking some of this stuff, but it didn't work out that I could go to sale this year. So we'll just have to wait till we get another one around somewhere. But I enjoyed talking with you this evening, Jay. Brought back a whole lot of wonderful memories. glad Andy came in there and gave you that website. That's a pretty interesting little website. I've looked at it and gone through it and looked at some things that brought back memories from all kinds of different directions. But I'll say 73 to you for now. Hope to hear you again tomorrow night. And I think Daniel, KJ4WZM, will be calling and give him a good dose of Rider's Cram. But anyway, you have a great evening, what's left up there in Norman, Oklahoma, and go get you something to eat. And when you get to this area, give us a holler, and we'd love to lay an eyeball QSO on you. If you get up in the Greenville-Spartanburg area of the state, that's the northern kind of northwest upstate. Give us a holler, and we'd love to come meet you someplace. You take care, and we'll say 73 for now. Do we have a radio app? Do we have additional check-ins or additional comments for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS. About going to wrap it up this evening. I'll submit my net report, and then we'll close the net out. There you have it, folks. We had a grand total of 63 tonight. Appreciate each and every one of you out there in Radio Land. Y'all come back again tomorrow night. Mr. Daniel, I think, will be calling. That's KJ4WZM. Give him a good dose of Rider's Cram. This is KI4DOS, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. With our thanks for all those folks checked in with us. We will now return the repeater to normal amateur use. 73, good night, God bless. This is KI4DOS clear.
Point LC.